The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Reaction continues around the world to the treatment that President Vladimir Zelensky received at the hands of Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and of course, Marco Rubio and the Secretary of State and the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, all of whom were encircling Zelensky during the meeting at the White House yesterday. John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor to the President, Trump's former National Security Advisor in his first presidency, has said Trump and Vance have declared themselves to be on Russia's side in the Russo-Ukraine war. This is a catastrophic mistake for America's national security. And let's be clear, Trump and Vance now personally own that policy. It is not the view of a majority of Americans of either or no political party. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has addressed reporters before boarding Marine One. He strode out of the White House wearing the characteristic blue suit, red tie, and had the red MAGA hat on. And he said that, and I quote, the meeting did not work out great from his standpoint, meaning from Zelensky's standpoint, and mockingly called him a big shot. He said that he wants to come back right now, but Trump said, I can't do that. And of course, Volodymyr Zelensky himself has been taking to media as much, it would appear, as he can, including the conservative media in the US in the form of Fox News, where he has been trying to do as much damage limitation as is possible.
So I'm not hearing from you, Mr. President, a thought that you owe the president an apology.
No, I respect the president and I respect American people. And if I don't know if I think that we have to be very open and very honest. And I'm not sure that we did something bad. I think maybe sometimes some things we have to discuss out of media, with all respect to democracy and to free media. But there are things that where we have to understand the position of Ukraine and Ukrainians.
Sean Bell is with us. He's former fighter pilot, but now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. I suppose the question that is being asked around the world, Sean, is where to from here?
Yeah. Good morning, Anton. It was I was breathless listening to it, and it made me feel very uncomfortable that 10 minutes. My overriding sense is that, you know, imagine President Zelensky, his country's been invaded. He's watched hundreds of thousands of his population being killed or injured, millions being relocated, 20% of his land decimated. And for the last 3 years, America's largely been a staunch ally. And then all of a sudden, it's all changed. And he found himself there. He wasn't speaking his native tongue, surrounded by, you know, Americans in the White House, and clearly with two different agendas going on. President Trump clearly wants the minerals because he's got this trade war with China and no real interest in providing military backstop, where President Zelensky is very happy to do a deal, but he's got to have security guarantees if there's going to be any peace. And the very fact that they entered into the White House, I think, with those two very different positions, and then the way President Trump decided to play it out, I think, as you say, the worry here is, you know, there are some profound implications. Goodness knows what European leaders are going to make of this. They're meeting tomorrow. And I suspect, you know, do they try and play a diplomatic, tread the middle ground, or do they go, actually, we've got to step up to the plate to look after Ukraine, because it's pretty evident America's not going to do it anymore.
And John, what capacity does the EU have to step up to that plate? Because a lot of analysis is suggesting that there are certain assets that the Americans have in terms of intelligence and some surveillance assets that Europe just can't provide.
Yes, I mean, let's not beat about the bush. If you look at it from a financial perspective, Europe and the rest of the world provides about the same amount of money as America does. But when you look at absolutely military hardware, the vast majority comes from America. And as you say, there's all sorts of intelligence, stuff like that. That will be almost impossible for the Europe to step up. And quite frankly, in the last 3 years, Europe had the capacity to increase its defense industrial base. In other words, get more stuff being produced. And they've failed to do that. They've sort of just expected the war will eventually end and, you know, they wouldn't need to. Well, now, all of a sudden, there's a real shock because, you know, countries like Poland will be feeling the heat. The Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, the former, you know, Soviet Union states will be feeling very vulnerable. And if America not only has a spat with Ukraine, but actually takes this on and says, no, we're going to step away from NATO, we're going to become far more America first and only worry about ourselves, that has huge implications. And I have to say, from a military perspective, my heart sank a bit yesterday, because, you know, it, up till now, it doesn't matter whether you're a big nation like America or a small nation like Lithuania or Latvia. Every nation has the right of self-defense. Every nation, and it shouldn't be that the big boys can bully the little boys. You know, there's a lovely phrase, isn't there? Through great power requires great responsibility. And I think that what we saw yesterday was just the implications of a world where everybody just worries about themselves and Ukraine risks being left alone. And that is something that I think would have profound implications for our own nation.
And what do you make of the implicit alignment with Russia? I mean, John Bolton, the former national security advisor, saying that effectively, that America has taken the Russian side. We've had 70 plus years of cold and almost hot war between those two. And now we see an American president referring to the Russian dictator on a first name chatty basis about how he'll do a deal carving up a nation that has been invaded.
Yes, I mean, this is the bit that I get a little confused, I have to say, Anton. You know, one side, you know, I think America isn't a natural bedfellow for Russia, and no reasonable Western democracy would ever advocate that a nation invades another. But I think President Trump got elected on the premise that he was going to bring this war, this specific war in Ukraine, to an end. And I think a lot of military analysts recognize that it's a very difficult one for Ukraine to win. And therefore, do you allow it to grind on? President Zelensky almost certainly would never be prepared to negotiate. So do you need some weight brought to bear to finally bring the war to an end and just accept the fact that Russia has got some more territory, but find ways to make sure that Russia can't do it again? And the only way to do that is obviously to negotiate. And rather than alienate President Putin, I think he wanted to be a seat around a table. Trump famously wants to do deals. The problem is, as this unravels, is that, you know, you suddenly create bedfellows, and that has profound implications. Again, if you're in Poland and you're seeing Russia on your border, you're not going to want to actually talk to President the Russian President Putin. You are absolutely going to want to make sure that you stop him from ever doing this again. And I think President Trump's probably got himself in a slightly difficult position now. He was angry yesterday. He was doing a lot of that for theatre. But I think on reflection, it'll be really interesting to see what America does next as well after this.
Give us a sense of what you think the threat is in European terms, because one of the points that Vladimir Zelensky tried to make while he was being harangued was that this is not a 3-year conflict. This is a 10 plus year conflict that has seen Crimea be annexed by Russia, that has seen constant deaths on the contact lines, and that if there isn't a guarantee of security provided by NATO or by the US, they will continue to chip away and work their way back towards what used to be the USSR and all of those Eastern Bloc countries. Is he right?
I was in Ukraine back in October last year. I head out again in about a week's time. And when you chat to the Ukrainians, they sort of chuckle when we talk about since 2014. They've had a 300-year war with Russia. You know, that Russia has always been trying to destroy their country, their language, their culture, their people, their communities. So they don't think Russia will ever stop unless there are some robust security guarantees. And they look back to, 1994, the Budapest Memo, when Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons in return for a cast iron guarantee by America, UK and Russia that its sovereignty would be respected. But within 20 years, you know, Russia ripped that up and in they came. So, you know, it's going to need more than just a written bit of paper. It's going to have to be a lot more robust. And Ukrainians are feeling that. They feel that in their blood. They paid a huge price. Whereas it's pretty clear that from the other side of the Atlantic, President Trump thinks that just doing a deal might be enough to dissuade Putin. That is a gulf between the two respective positions. And that's not going to be filled anytime soon.
Sean, thank you so much. That's Sean Bell, who is former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. I'm joined as well by Ina Sovzun, who is a member of the European Parliament. She's a former Deputy Minister of Education and Science. She's also vice president of, or was previously vice president of, the Kiev School of Economics. Ina, the suggestion there from Sean that Ukraine has a very clear sense of previous betrayal of agreements that were made, and a lack of desire to go into any kind of peace without steadfast guarantees from international players. What do you think the chances are of getting everything back on track now?
Well, just to specify, I'm a member of the Ukrainian Parliament, not European Parliament, at least.
My apologies,
as of yet,
sorry.
Do we aspire for that? I actually very much agree with what the speaker before me said, that Ukrainians indeed have a very bad experience in getting some vague promises which were never fulfilled. And that is one of the reasons why Ukrainians are now asking about very specific guarantees for our security. What will happen if there is a ceasefire today and then a week after that Russia attacks again, as has been done before? Ukraine was attacked in 2014, then there were the Minsk agreements, and then 2022 they attacked us again with the multiple forces. So what will happen then? We don't want to wake up one night at 4:30 again from explosions in our cities and be completely unprotected and then run around asking for support from other areas and them taking months and years sometimes to decide if they're willing to support us or not. That's not what we want to do. I will say it very, very personally to me. My partner has joined the armed forces on the first day of this full-scale invasion. And I, of course, want him back. When I'm hearing from Donald Trump saying that Ukrainians don't want peace, it's on a very personal level, very, very, very offensive to me to hear anything like that, because we want nothing more than peace. But I also want to make sure that we don't get a ceasefire that will be broken in a couple of years, and then my son will be old enough to get into the armed forces. We don't want our children to inherit this war. And that is a prevailing feeling here in Ukraine. We want this to be over once and for all.
Do you fear now for the safety of your partner and for his colleagues in the armed forces, given what looks like the American desire to withdraw support?
Well, that is a risk. And yes, of course, it's terrifying to think about that. But I don't think that it's decided. Yeah, I don't think it's something that cannot be mended by the Europeans and other partners. So I think it's critically important to talk to the European partners, to the UK, Canada, Australia, Japan, Norway, all of those countries that have been supporting Ukraine. If they would be willing to step up their support, then Ukraine can hold against Russian pressure and against American pressure, something we didn't expect to be doing, but apparently we have to do now. So I think if Europeans step up, they have lots of weapons in their coffers that they can offer to the Ukrainians. So then I think we can have a better negotiating positions.
Can I ask you what your reaction has been to the way the Americans are spinning this? Because Donald Trump has described your president as thinking that he was a big shot and that it didn't work out great from his point. The Secretary of State has praised the president for standing up for America. And the drumbeat that is appearing on traditional and social media is the suggestion that finally somebody has stood up to the exploitative President Zelensky.
Well, I don't know in what way we exploited the Americans, in what way we were a threat to be stand up to. We have never been a threat to America. And I think that the only ones who do really hate the Americans, everything that America stands for, are actually the Russians. And of course, it's unspeakable it's very difficult to react to this because he is attacking President Zelensky, saying that he is disrespecting the United States. But that is completely not true. We are actually fighting for the same values that we all share, the values of democracy, of respect to human rights, of human dignity. And it's another country that is defying all those values. So it's Russian Federation. Yet the Americans have been extremely cozy and nice to the Russians in their negotiations. So it's of course very difficult to understand how this logic works. But I think in addition to trying to understand this, the major question now is to think how to proceed from here, because we shouldn't spiral this further. I think we should calm down the emotions. We should find the right mediator, someone who can be the mediator between the two sides, someone whom both sides can trust, and try to find a way out of this.
Is that Keir Starmer, do you think?
That we are seeing unfolding.
We see reports that Keir Starmer called last night to both Trump and Zelensky, obviously trying to get himself into that role. Is he the man to broker some kind of peace between the two?
It can be Keir Starmer, it can be Giorgia Meloni as well. It has to be someone with whom both sides trust and respect. So any one of those could do. The question is that they have to be all in and not and then really make an effort to fix this this issue.
Ina, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Ina Sovsun, who is a member of the Ukrainian Parliament and a former Minister of Education and Science.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.